I want to share a word with you this morning that's been on my heart, and your pastor can attest I had a completely different message that I was prepared for. I gave them all the slides, I gave them all the verses, I gave them the title, and woke up this morning with something else on my heart, and my beautiful bride helped me to she spoke into my heart and my mind this morning and helped me to kind of change my direction. So I pulled a completely different message out. I want to really quickly, before I transition to that, I do have a little bit of business. If you don't have this CD, I really think that this is maybe one of the best evangelistic tools that I've ever been a part of. As far as our ministry goes. I did a concert in Micanopy, Florida, and it was at a place, at a venue called the Honky Tonkin' Opry. That's exactly where you think you'd find Johnny Rowlett, right? And it was a secular event, and I didn't realize that they were recording me. And to make a long story short, what they did is, I knew that it was, they weren't believers, most of the crowd there. And so what I did is, there's a lot of songs on here that are, you know, Merle Haggard and some songs that people know and recognize and enjoy. And I just did those kind of songs at first until I could feel the walls come down. And I won their attention and I won their hearts and I won their listening. And as about that time, you can hear I'm giving my testimony in between songs, and they recorded it all and put it all on here. And all of a sudden you can feel a shift, and we began to minister the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to these people. If you know somebody who likes country, and who doesn't, Ryan? I said, who doesn't? Thank you. This is a great tool because it'll walk them right from just listening and enjoying to right into full witnessing. Amen. So I ask that you get this. And if you don't have the money, and I think you should get an honest opinion, and I'm not just saying this, I think you should get two or three to hand out to your neighbors. If you don't have the money, just take them. That's how much I believe that it's a really good tool in your hand. Amen. It's really cool. An amazing thing happens in this CD. Also, this hat is kind of new. I don't know if it's new to y'all, but it's new. It's important to me. I was doing a big outreach in Idaho, and at a big fairgrounds or something, and the people that brought me in asked me to come have coffee with them in the morning. Make sure you understand, these are the people that sponsored me to be there and asked me to come have coffee in the morning after my service on the previous night. As I got up early, went over there to have coffee with them, there was their son, who was a professional bullfighter, the dad, and the wife. And they said, we have a question that we're too embarrassed to ask anyone else, but we feel comfortable in asking you. What's the difference between God and Jesus? And I realized, first of all, that is a great question. But secondly, I realized these people that paid for me to be there to do an outreach didn't know who Jesus was. And I think it's important that we as believers never just assume things. And so I began to witness to them and go, we had a three-hour discussion under that tree from Genesis to Revelations. And afterwards, the son said, what do I need to do to get saved? And the father and the mother said, yeah, I want to get saved as well. They all three got saved under that tree that morning. She went in, thank you, God is good. She went into the house and made me this hat. And that made me this logo. It's got JR, and the J is like a fishing hook. And there's three fish, and those three fish represent father, wife, and son. Amen? So I just think this is a great tool for you to share your faith with as well. And people talk about, you know, you. This is a walking kind of testimonial hat. And next year we'll have shirts that say, church is essential. Is that good? Yeah, this year. I mean, next year when we come. All right. If you've got your Bibles, turn very quickly. I don't see it. Okay, perfect. 11 o'clock. Boom. Good deal. We're doing good. How you doing, young man? You're a big kid. How old are you? 13. Boy, I'm kind of, I need you to go around with me and protect me everywhere I go. Is that a, I looked up and he's blocking the clock. I mean, that kid, he walks around and the sun, you know, gets blocked. It's a big boy right there. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 1. If you don't know, I do a short word every Tuesday through Friday on Facebook. And I'm grateful for some of you that hang out with me there. It's been such a wonderful journey. And Tom is there almost every day with me, and I'm so grateful for his support and love. And Larry is never on. But I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. Not angry. And I'm just kidding. I have to give him a hard time. Yeah, he's never coming back here. No, I'm just kidding. So, no, he's been coming since 2 years ago, or that was great. Anyhow, moving on. Chasing red balls. I think I'm going to read this scripture for you really quickly, and then I want to kind of get into the message of why this stands out to me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Say dwelt. Dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And he was full, say full, full of grace and truth. What I was going to say about doing the short word in the morning is we've been in John. We've been in John now, going through John. I'm in John chapter 19. We've been going through John for 2 years now. It's very slow process, and the Word and the revelation of the Word has been literally jumping off of the pages. And I get in the, every single day, I'm not exaggerating. Obviously, there's days that you're tired or whatever, but I get so excited about what I find and what God reveals to me in the Word. And John 1:14, those words, grace and truth, stood out to me like never before. I went to Shiloh. I memorized that verse. I know, we had to memorize the whole book of Romans, I think. I'm not sure, but we know scripture, right? But sometimes we can jump right or speed right past things and not really take a deeper look. What does it mean, grace and truth? He was full of grace and truth. Those two words in themselves don't seem to go together. They're kind of diametrically opposed in some, especially in some people's lives. Usually when you hear of grace, you hear grace and joy, grace and love, grace and hope, grace and peace. But you don't rarely hear grace and truth. It's an interesting tension between those two words. And I think that the part of the reason is because usually people fall on one side or the other. For instance, I'm a grace guy because grace has been given to me millions of times. That's funnier than y'all. Okay, whatever. And because grace has been given to me, then grace is what I share. And I lean on grace or tend to give grace over and over and over and over again. So there's nothing you could say to me that would keep me from being your friend or brother or love you or can, I don't get shocked by things. I stand with you. I'm a grace guy. But sometimes I need to remember that I love you enough not to leave you where I found you. I love you enough that I need to tell you the truth and get you up out of the dark place that you might find yourself currently. Because I need to be balanced between grace and truth.
There's some people, though, that I find are what I call truthers in the kingdom of God. I think you all know that person. And if you don't, it might be you. Truthers. Truthers are the ones that have turned this Bible into a stone to be thrown and wound people. Truthers are people that have learned how to take it and use it as a weapon and beat people with it and wound people with it and hurt people with it. They got so much truth. I've known some people that have this whole book memorized, and they're some of the nastiest, meanest people you'll ever encounter. When I was a youth pastor, I had parents that could quote me scripture with spit running out of their mouths. They were so angry with me. Those people need to have a balance of grace. Come on. And Jesus was the perfection of the balance of grace and truth. The perfection. Oh, as always. And the thing is that we say, well, he's God. Yes, but he was also fully man. And so being fully man, everything he does, we can do. Every example that he gives, we can follow. I know you're not used to people screaming at you this morning, but I'm fired up. Come on. Come on. I think I'm going to give you two examples, two stories. I'm a storyteller. I love to tell stories. And the first story is when Jesus is on a Saturday morning, early in the morning, and he's teaching a group of people, and all of a sudden the Pharisees storm in and they throw a woman at Jesus' feet. Do you remember this story? Throw a woman and they say, we have caught this woman in the very act of adultery. And by Mosaic law, what? She's to be stoned to death. My first question is, where's the man? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? The next question I got is, how'd they find them? Last I seen, adultery doesn't happen in the streets. So what you know is this is a setup. It's a setup. But it's not a setup for the man and the woman. It's a setup for Jesus. They're trying to put him in a box. They're trying to set him up to failure. And if I could just be really real and just be kind of cowboy with you right now, it's a pretty good trap. It's a pretty good trap because she did do that. And the law is that she's to be stoned to death. So he can't just say, oh, you guys are mean, give her grace and let her go. Because he's come to what? Fulfill the law. And he can't just say, you know what? You're right. Kill her. Get your stones. You need bigger ones than that, right? Because he's also said, I've come that I might give them life, and life more abundantly. So there is a tension here. It's an interesting problem that Jesus has. And what Jesus does, instead of just reacting, he does something so interesting that we can learn from. He kneels down in the dirt and begins to doodle. And I've read every theological debate on that he's writing their sins out. He's writing their names. He wrote the sign of grace. He did all these things. I've read them all. You know what I think he was doing? Is what he said he would do in John 8. He said, I don't say nothing that my Father doesn't have me to say, and I don't do anything that my Father doesn't have me to do. So what I believe he was doing, is showing us what we can do, which is take a minute. Just take a minute. Take a minute to doodle
and talk to Dad. Take a minute to talk to the Father before just reacting. Take a minute. Can you just take a minute to really talk to the Father about how to respond rather than react? And there is a huge difference. Trust me, on this I know. There's a difference of reacting and responding. I think in the season that we're in right now, this is a lesson that we need to learn. This is a thing that we as the body of Christ need to really understand how to speak, how to respond rather than react. In the season that we're in where everybody is angry and everybody, as Pastor said this morning, there's a spirit of offense that has been released. You cannot say the sky is blue without somebody arguing with you. If you are masked or no mask, big fights. I mean, can I just stop and say what an honor it is that you serve under such a grace, loving, kind, good pastor as Pastor Eric and his bride. I mean, can you? I know that's just platitudes. Everybody's like, yeah, he's a great guy. But can I just say this to you? There's churches all over America that are folding up. Folding up. And maybe 20, 30%, even the ones that are still open, 20, 30% of them are coming back. And there's the one of the biggest problems, and I'm sure Eric has found this, is they're fighting with him. There's people that are angry with him. He's not told me any of this. This is just me knowing what's going on with pastors. People are angry if you're still open. How dare you put people at risk? And then if you decide to close, then there's people that are angry that you close. Oh, where's your faith? You cannot make everybody right. Everybody happy. Somebody's going to be offended with you more now than I've ever seen before. And it seems very apparent on Facebook and social media all the more. Everybody's upset. I got into, you know how many complete dissertations that I have written to people? And then my wife comes over my shoulder and she says, nope, delete, 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 delete. Because here's the thing, now more than ever, come on, I don't know, I just say this boldly, love needs to be speaking more now than ever. And love cannot remain silent while hate is screaming. You need to be speaking. What I notice is the ones that are speaking are the ones that I don't want speaking for me. Come on, y'all know them. There's the truthers out there that are just throwing stones out there. Come on. And they're angry and mean and mad and they're writing things they shouldn't be writing. And I'm like, oh no, you're steady burning bridges that God has called us to build. Don't say that. But then what I do notice is the men and women of God that have wisdom are somehow quiet. And you know why they're quiet? Because we just don't know what to say a lot of times. So what the Lord showed me this is grace and truth. Okay? So Jesus doodles in the dirt and talks to the Father and responds rather than just react. Are y'all with me? And then what he says, after talking to the Father, he says, those among you who've never sinned, you throw the first stone. Whoa, that's a good answer. Don't you wish you could have come up with that answer? How many times have you reacted and not instead of responding? And don't you wish you could have come up with something that good?
He didn't come up with something that good just because he's Jesus. He said something that good because he's in commune with the Father who spoke through him. And you have that same access. Man, come on. Hey, Adam, good to see you, man. Come on, you need to know what you have access to the heart of the Father. Take a minute before reacting and respond. So he says, those among you who haven't sinned, throw the first stone. And then he goes back to doodling. And one by one, they says that they begin to drop their stones, right? And then he stands back up and says, woman, where are your accusers? And they said, they're all gone. And he says this, neither do I accuse you. Now go your way and sin no more. Oh, man. Grace and truth. I love you enough to give you grace and to tell you the truth. Come on. That's a good picture. For some of you in here real quickly, and I don't want to spend time on this, but you've been listening to the accuser way too long. You've been letting him say things about you and put you into a hole and continue, and you're putting your amen to it, and you're agreeing with him. I want you to know he's a liar about you. You are the breath of God. You are a son and a daughter of the living King, and you say what he says about you, not what the enemy says. Second story is Jesus is in Capernaum and he hears about his best friend, Lazarus, has died. Come on, you remember the story? Last best friend died and the disciples are all, well, they think he's sick. So Lazarus, the disciples are like, hey, let's go. You're God, you're Jesus. Let's go fix this. That's kind of the cowboy way. Fence is broke, let's go fix it. And Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. He's already sick unto death. It's too late. And so he waits. Interesting. And then he travels and he waits for 4 days later to show up. Lazarus is wrapped in death clothes and buried behind a stone. And Jesus comes walking in. And as he's walking up, you know that he's got a plan because you're on this side of history. But they didn't know. And Mary and Martha, 2 separate times, run up to him with angry venom in their voice. Where were you? If you had just been here, my brother would still be alive. Have you ever been to that place in your life before? Where something tragic happens in your life and the first thing you do, where were you? If you had just been here, this wouldn't happen. And this happens twice to Jesus. And the Bible says in the shortest verse in the Bible that Jesus wept. And so many times a lot of theologians have taught that Jesus wept because that's his best friend behind the stone. He already knew he was dead 4 days ago. If he was going to weep for that, he would have already wept. You know why he was weeping? Because the people that say they know him the most, the people that are closest to him the most, the people that believe in him the most, do not trust him. Come on. Don't you think that would, I believe it hurt his heart. You know who I am? You know why this is such a big deal? Because we find ourselves in the same position. How many times have we just got angry with God and not just believed and trusted that he is who he said he is and he'll do what he said he'll do? And can we not just believe and trust that he's got a plan? I don't understand it. I don't see it. But I choose to believe him more than what I see, feel, touch, hear, taste. You feel me? So Jesus walks on, and the first thing he does is he sees the stone covering the tomb. And Jesus calls out to them, roll the stone away. Ooh, man. Roll the stone away. I think it's about that time, Martha runs back up to him and says, no, you don't understand. He's been dead for 4 days. If you roll that stone away, the Bible, I'm going to give you the King James Version. He stinketh. He's stanky. And he's about to ruin all of our days with the atmosphere change that's about to take place. He stinketh. You ever known anybody that stinks? And Jesus doesn't even listen. I said, roll the stone away. Let me ask you something. If you don't have any other takeaway than this right here, maybe you should write this down. When you're on social media, when you're getting into arguments with your neighbors and your family and your wife and your friends and your whatever, let me ask you this. Are you a stone thrower or a stone roller? Ask yourself that. Everything that you do, it literally guides me now. And a lot of times I'm a stone thrower. I still struggle, but I can process and I can doodle and talk to the Father and ask myself, am I throwing stones or am I like Jesus who's rolling stones? So Jesus rolls the stone away, and Lazarus, who is wrapped in death clothes, is in a dark, dank tomb. And Jesus calls him out of darkness into light. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he speaks life into Lazarus. And Lazarus was dead, and he brought him out of death into life. And that's the God you serve. He's always got a plan. And the plan is to roll the stone away and bring people that are in a dark place into light. The people that are in a death place into life. That's the God you serve. Lazarus, come forth. But I got this picture of this moment. This is Lazarus. He may be alive, but he still stinks. And he's still wrapped up with death clothes. Come on. Come on. I'm hoping you're deep and you can go with me here. Here he comes, wrapped up in death clothes, walking, bouncing, hopping. I don't know what he was doing. He might have rolled out. I don't know. But he came out. And he stanked up the whole area. If I was there, can you imagine? Can you just picture this in your head? You're like, you're excited that he just got raised from the dead. And you're like, whoa, hey, whoa. Come on. Like, hey. That's what masks are really for, by the way. He brought him out of death into life, out of darkness into light. Supernaturally. And something my wife shared with me today, I think this is so important to just touch on. Man, Lord help me with this. There's people that are in a dark place, in a dank tomb, and don't realize the stone has been rolled away. And all they have to do is walk out under the freedom that Jesus, only Jesus, can bring. And grace loves them enough to let them know you're free. And truth tells them to come out. Come on, listen to me. Come out. You can't hide anymore. Why would you hide that anymore? It's time to come out. Bring that thing that you've been hiding, that has been holding you back and holding you down and keeping you in a tomb that you have been released from the blood of Jesus, and you've been hiding, wrapped up with death clothes, and Jesus loves you enough not to leave you in that tomb. Trust Him. Believe Him. And step out, because it's only in the light that the grave clothes come off. That's grace and truth. I love you where you are, but I want to deliver you the truth to say that I don't want you to stay in that tomb not a minute longer, because out here is life, abundant life, and out here is victory and purpose and joy and peace and life abundant for you. Those issues need to be exposed in a place of love, in a place where you won't be wounded or judged or hurt, in a place like Shiloh. For all the ones that are listening to me, that are watching at home, I want to say a big shout out to Pastor Atticus and his wife Marge, and how much I love y'all. But there's people that have to be home, but there's some people who are scared to come back in the house as of yet. And that's not even a good word. Are concerned. And I get that. I understand that. But I want you to know that this house is a house that you will be loved. You will be loved, and we can have people come around you. Come on, let me share the last part of this. I want you to hook onto this. The last part of this is Jesus rolled the stone away, right? Jesus supernaturally called them out of death into life, out of darkness into light. But then what's so powerful is that He sees the body of Christ. He sees the church. He sees, come on, are you getting this? He sees a group of people that are believers now, that are standing near Him, probably like this. And Jesus doesn't do it. Jesus sees them and He calls them. You and you and you and you and you. You need to get near Him. Get over the stank. Get over the smell. Get over the bad. Get over the hurt. Get over the pain. Get over their wounds. Get over the way they look and act and taste and smell. Lord, not taste. Get over that all. Get over it. And get near enough to your brother and your sister that you can help take the wounds off. Take the bondages off. Take the bandages off. You cannot help somebody if you're offended by them. Shiloh, I'm speaking to you specifically. There's a city all around you that may have things about them where death, old man, natures, stinky things still encase them. And you walk under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to love, to get past their stank, to love them and give them grace for where they are, but give them the truth enough to get alongside of them and say, brother, let me help you with that. That's not God. Let's pull that piece off of you. That's not His will for your life. Let me not beat you up with truth, but let me love you in grace and mercy and get enough alongside of you to tell you the truth. Come on. I don't know that you're really capturing my heart this morning, that we're not going to win our cities. We're not going to win our state. I don't care how it all boils back down to personal responsibility for you to love your neighbors. They've been called out of the dark place. I heard somebody the other day, I got to close, but I heard somebody the other day that put a whole article, actually wrote a song about how much they hate preachers. Wrote a song about it. And how you don't got to listen to them preachers. You got Jesus. And I took him to a scripture that says, how will they know? How will they know they're in a dark, dank tomb? How will they know that the stone has been rolled away if not for preachers? And I'm not talking about the office necessarily of preachers. I'm talking about people who carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I feel so led right here just to say this and maybe lead to a little bit of prayer. Man, Lord, help me say this. Say it the way you want to say it, Lord. It's hard to help somebody else if you yourself are still in the dark place. You have a calling on your life. Every single one of you are called, appointed, and anointed by God to minister. And if you're hiding, wrapped up, it's not that he doesn't love you, it's not that he's mad at you, but man, you're missing an opportunity. And in this day and age that we live in, we need you now more than ever. We need wisdom, and we need people that are led by love, that remember that I may not agree with you. I may not understand your perspectives and your point, but my job is to love you and to build a bridge to you. Love cannot remain silent while hate is screaming. Is it important to win your argument as much as it is to unwrap their life? If you were here this morning and you find yourself still hidden in a tomb, and I think you know what it's a proverbial, it's an understanding, it's a mindset. Are there things in your life that have you wrapped up? That you find yourself still locked up? Everybody has probably areas of their life that need to be, those things need to be removed off. You know, and I see like little, you know, the guy that comes out of the bathroom with the toilet paper on his, you know. Oh, and the brother comes up, hey, let me help you with that. Right? Just, I'm trying to obey the Holy Spirit right here, so I'm just, if you were sitting here this morning and you have found yourself disqualified, that's the word that's jumping out at me. Somebody in this room right now feels like they're disqualified from the call of God, either from age, maybe you think you're too old, or maybe that you find yourself wrapped up in something that's kept you in a dark place. And today, I want you to find freedom. I want to tell you that the stone has been rolled away. You no longer have to hide. Today's your day to come out and let the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus, expose that thing so that you can be set free.
And I don't know of a better place to have that happen than in this house this morning. If you're here this morning with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm not going to bring you forward. We're not going to do that. I just don't feel led for that. This is between you and God and me. I just want to pray for you. If you're sitting here this morning, you think, you know what? I know there's a call on my life. I've been dealing with depression. I've been dealing with anxiety. I've been dealing with addiction. I've been dealing with things that have kept me hidden from others and from my Father. And today, I want to come out of that place. And I want to just willingly open up my heart and my mind to my Father, to Jesus, and say, unwrap me. I break the bondage of the lie that you are disengaged, that you are not allowed to be a part of the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, it's time for all hands on deck. Up to these days, we've all been playing church. We've been practicing. And now, during this season, it's game on. And we need everyone. Let me be an empathist that comes into your life right now and helps pull off that bandage and that bondage. Let me pray for you. If that's you, just raise your hand and let me pray for you right now. I'm not having you come forward. I see the hands. Oh, hands everywhere. Hands, hands, yeah. Hands, hands. If we were honest, it's probably 90% or more of us. Let's just pray. Father, in the name above every other name, I thank you for these hands that are raised and even some that didn't raise their hands. First and foremost, I break the spirit of shame right now in the name of Jesus. It's a lie. It's a lie. The stone has been rolled away. Grace has been given. And the truth is, they need to come out. Father, we stand against any of the issues that would distract us from your purpose, from your call, from your vision, from your dream for each and every person, for their life. Father, I just thank you that you are the author and the finisher of life. You are the Alpha and Omega. This battle is already, the war is won, but we are involved with every breath in us. We are kingdom builders in Jesus' name. And we will not let any tool, any weapon formed against us as Satan has tried to quiet us, to dismantle us, to disqualify us. I speak life over my brothers and my sisters. I tell them about the grace of God and the truth that you are no longer your past. You're no longer your sin. You're no longer your failures. You're no longer your mistakes. You're no longer what somebody else said about you. You're no longer what you say about you. You are the righteousness of Christ. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And the kingdom of God needs you to be bold, brothers and sisters, to stand up and walk in the perfection of grace and truth and to love our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and thank you for having me this morning.